What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the All Days Off podcast with Alex Aronson, my co-host Corey Oskowitz.
What's going on? How you guys doing? Thanks for listening again.
Very enthusiastic today, Corey. Hey, we should be enthusiastic. We finally got the incredible Nick Talelli on the pod. What's up, Nick?
What's up, guys? Happy to be here.
I know you've been busy with the Many Saints in Newark premiere, and it's been tough to get you on. You were great. But thanks for coming on. Nick is a great comedian, very funny, one of my favorites. It's good to have you on, buddy. How you doing?
Thanks, man. Thank you. All right, let's just get to what your mom's friend said about me.
Okay, yeah, let's just get right into it. All right, so Nick, we all did the Long Island Laugh Off together, and you won it in 2019,
that's
and everybody,
right.
You know, and ever since then, your career has just taken off.
Oh, right? It's been magical, man, you know? That's why I came here, to impart some wisdom on how you guys can excel in your career.
So, like, my mom and her friends are there. My mom didn't say anything about you, but I think she actually... My mom's friend, and they're like, yeah, they're little PC Jews from Long Island who feel some white guilt, and they don't like to hear anything that's even moderately inappropriate. And so my mom's friend says, I'm like, I didn't like the first guy. I'm like, Nick?
I fucking murdered, by the way, too. Yeah. But go ahead, yeah. What happened?
She's like, yeah, he said some things I didn't like. I was like, all right, well, what about Joey Mahone? He's like, even worse. I was like, those are two of my favorite comedians in New York City that you just shit on.
I mean, to be fair, my closure is about how I fuck my mom, you know? Yeah. So it's fair. I understand that. That's why it's always weird. I don't like older, whenever I was in Tennessee, and it's the same vibe as Long Island, where it's just like you have these older, like 45 to 50 year old women who think it's like, you know, Sebastian Maniscalco. Yeah. You know, and he's like, how come he didn't talk about grating cheese yet? And it's just like, what the fuck do you want from me, lady? You know what
Has
I mean?
He never been to Chipotle? Where's the Chipotle joke?
The Chipotle.
And they grew up in the 80s as if they weren't exposed to like real fucking horrid filth like Richard Pryor and
yeah.
shit.
I mean, yeah,
like,
they used not to
like,
do blow
I'm
like
just like
vitamins.
Richard Pryor, bro. You know? Yeah. I'm a fucking pariah of comedy. But it's just, I don't know. That's why fucking, whatever.
It really bothered. It like pissed me off. I was like, who did you like then on that show? Like you. Like,
again. Never mind. You're fucking sick. Your opinion's so
that
dope.
That
kind
of shows her comedic sensibility.
And, not too well, also, like, Mahoney has some like, I think he has like a Holocaust joke. And it got like some ooze, and he's like, oh, I didn't realize we were in Jericho.
It's a good pop.
Yeah, he got a huge pop on that.
Which is hilarious because he called me and he goes, I think I know what I'm going to do in case it gets a bomb. And I'm like, I'm going to say it's from Jericho or Syosset. I'm like, whoa, you're fucking pinning down to the audience, my friend. You got it all figured out. I'm like, what are you going to do when it doesn't work in New York like I've seen? And he goes, I don't know. Like, all right, no, but Joe is fucking hilarious. And I live with Joe. And like when you, it's weird because when you watch someone do a set and you're always just like, God, I wonder what they're like. And then when you find out what they're like, you're like, Jesus. This is,
I really only want to watch you perform. Jeez. God.
Oh, but it's all real.
His rationale and thinking is so, it's so like, I love you, Joe. I mean, it's not, I'm not concerned he's going to watch and be like, what the fuck, bro? But he, it's this level of thinking that is so and completely wrong, like there's nothing accurate or factual about what he's saying, but it's so like the way that he got to the level of thinking you have to respect because his rational mind has completely taken, you know, like when you do some shit and you're like, it's no problem, I'll just be, and you rationalize doing something horrible, like you smoke
a
cigarette.
Literally do that every single day.
That's who he is. Like it's the rational mind just takes over and he just comes up with these beliefs that aren't factual whatsoever, but you're like, holy shit, it's all wrong, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting to watch, you know? But yeah, but I get why you don't like Joe, but me?
I didn't say I don't like Joe. I mean, yeah. I love Joe.
No, he is great.
I get why you didn't like Joe, but me. What the fuck?
Yeah, what the
did
fuck?
You remind her that I was 2019's winner of the Laugh Off?
I think I said something like, he won it 2 years ago.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Clearly don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't get a $75 gift card to the place I'm performing
at.
What did you get? Did you get anything?
I got a few spots, and then... then I moved to Brooklyn.
Sent you to Brooklyn.
Guess I climbed this tree, you know?
Yeah.
That is funny. Your gift was hilarious.
I just, like, I couldn't believe it. I was trying to look up if maybe it was like just a branded gift card for Governors that I could actually use anywhere. But yeah,
it was. I mean, I like that place a lot. It's pretty cool. But sometimes, like, you know, it's just when you have like an audience member that's like older and shit. It's just like, oh God, I know what you want to hear. It's like your fucking husband's toenails and shit. And it's just, I don't have the patience for sometimes.
You know? Yeah, I mean, it is a great club, and I've always had fun when I'm there. But you're right. Like with those Long Island crowds, if you just say Long Island Railroad, you'll get a standing ovation.
It's kind of wild. You know? And the stuff that they laugh at. Like when it is shit like that, or like even if I just bring up like, oh, Tri-County Flea Market's right over there, right, guys? And they lose their shit. You lose respect for everyone in the room.
You know what I mean? But yeah, it was funny having that conversation with my mom's friend, because you and Mahoney are like two of my favorites, because like I don't really push boundaries. I don't feel like all that much, just not so much of my nature. But you guys will like say stuff that other people would be on edge to say.
Yeah.
I feel like. And it's always funny too. It's never just like I'm just trying to say stupid shit and mean shit. You know, some open mic is like, rape, 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 right? And, yeah. You know, it's not like that. So, like, that's why I think you guys are, like, fucking great. I just think my parents' friends, like, don't really get that. But they should. Because they're the ones that, like, grew up, like you said, with, like, the Pryors and the fucking Eddie Murphys.
I mean, I'm sure she was a fan of Andrew Dice Clay at a point. You know what I mean? And I'm just making fun of cops being racist for a second, which I feel like is fair.
Yeah.
You know
that should
what I
be
mean?
Totally in now.
That's what I'm saying.
You can go as dark as you want as long as you're calling cops racist.
I feel like. That's why I throw that up top and be like, okay, now let me tell you how I feel about women.
I've been watching a lot of Sopranos, so you're not going to like my take on women right now.
Dude, I was just watching the episode. This is why I was so mad that Many Saints of Newark fucking sucked.
That's what I heard. I haven't watched it yet.
My friend told me not to watch it.
It's horrible. You should watch it just for like the attempt of what they tried to do.
Yeah.
I mean, but like when I'm watching the episode when Tony and Paulie are sitting in the Bada Bing and they're watching a nature documentary about snakes, right? This is just brilliant writing. They didn't even really need to do this. You know what I'm saying? But this is how I could tell that they had a hilarious sense of humor, was that Paulie looks over to Tony and he just goes, you know, snakes have two sets of reproductive organs. They can create their own babies. That's why you call someone a snake, because how could you trust a guy who could literally go fuck themselves? Right? And then Tony looks at him like, what are you, a fucking idiot? Right? And he goes, I think they call people snakes because the snake they couldn't trust from Adam and Eve. And he just, then like with complete dismissal, he goes, snakes were fucking themselves long before Adam and Eve. and it just like, that didn't help the storyline.
Yeah.
It's always so random. It didn't pursue anything, but it was just so hilarious. And none of that kind of shit was in Many Saints of Newark whatsoever. It was like over the top. Oh!
Yeah.
Like,
Mano!
Like a 5 second slow little Maro.
30 minutes is just them saying Maron.
All right, I'm gonna do a spoiler alert because it doesn't even matter.
I don't even care. Yeah.
This is how much they didn't even care about the writing, it felt like. So at one point, the whole thing centers around Dickie Moltisanti, right? Yeah. Who's Christopher's father,
yeah.
Right? And Tony's mentor throughout the whole series, right. Or whatever. So there comes a point where Tony does some shit, he's getting in trouble, and Dickie has a conversation with him. And then, like, they say, hey, you got to do good, you know, and you don't do bad. And he's like, but I'm trying, and whatever. And then
that's, like, the big speech.
And he's just in his bedroom, and then he just go. And this is how it even gets worse. He gives him a pinky promise, and then they just pinky promise on him, and it's just this old
Italian mom. Do they blow on their, blow on their thumbs?
Yeah, right after he gave him a cootie shot, he was ready to go. And then Dickie Moltisanti obviously dies. It's not a spoiler. And then you have Tony standing over his corpse in the middle of the wake, right? And then you slowly hear the music. This is the ending of the movie, so I don't really give a fuck if you watch this, but the soundtrack to the opening of The Sopranos starts coming on, and it's just real slow. And then you just see Tony's son's, well, I mean, James Gandolfini's son's face towards the screen, and you could tell he's looking down at the casket. And then slowly, you see the pinky of the dead Moltisanti coming up from below. And then James Gandolfini's son grabs it and gives him a pinky promise, and it goes to black. The worst ending to anything. You thought the ending of The Sopranos sucked.
Were they just trying to like double down on how bad the original ending was? Let's really fuck with them. A pinky promise to end it.
Dude, and of course they have a ring on the pinky. There's a pinky ring. God. It fucking sucked, you know? It was the worst movie I've ever seen. And not even like, I tried watching it as if like I didn't know The Sopranos to right. try to appreciate whatever kind of thing they might try to do. Every inch of this movie was fucking dog shit, dude. Dog shit. I'd rather watch, you know, fucking Two Broke Girls. Than it was so bad, dude. So
actually
bad.
A pretty good show.
Nah. Pinky Promise is the Lee Sopranos thing.
Yes.
And they did. That's how they ended it. That was their big shebang.
Was it like a PG?
They kissed men on the cheek, and that was gayer than anything they've ever done throughout the series.
That's so disappointing, because you figured it would at least be a good standalone movie.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. I was so disappointed, man. I was so disappointed. I was so hyped for it. I mean, not going to lie. I think when it was starting to come out, I was like, all they could do is like make me upset about it. But I was trying not to, like, I'm pretty negative about anything that I right. like, especially. So when this was coming out, I'm like, you know what? And I swear to God, me and my roommate were watching it, and 15 minutes in, I paused it. I'm like, this is going to be the biggest piece of shit I've ever seen. Yeah.
You could just tell right away.
Yeah, right terrible. Away. 42 minutes in, I paused it again. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to care about.
What, was it like 3 hours also? How long was
it? It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes.
Oh, my Jesus. God.
You know? So we still had like an hour and 30 to go. Yeah. And I didn't even know what was going on, you know?
It's so disappointing.
40 minutes in, they're already three Pinky Promises.
Yeah, exactly. They said Marone 8,000 times.
But it's like that one. I didn't know there was like Mafia Creed 2 Pinky Promises. Like, you wouldn't even think, you know?
Yeah.
Like we got the hit on Joey Bats tonight.
So that. You promised me you'll be there.
I know. Ugh,
he doesn't show up. You pinky promise.
You fucking pinky. You know what? Kill him. He broke a pinky promise. Yeah. You know?
The shit would never fly in the old country.
Yeah.
That's so just because I've been like rewatching the show, getting all amped up, and now I feel like it's gonna make me hate the movie even more because I'm remembering how good the show was now. Because it's been like several years since I watched.
That's why I had to watch the show after I watched the movie, because I just need to remember that they were good at something.
That they never did a pinky promise in the actual exactly. series.
At least the Entourage movie was like good for people who watched the show. Like it was not good if you didn't watch the show, but like I heard even the people who loved The Sopranos just fucking hated Mani Saints of Newark. So it was just a waste of 3 hours.
Yeah, at least like the Entourage movie was absolute trash, but at least it was entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the main plot lines
fucking hot girls is like always gonna be pretty
solid. One of the main plot lines of that movie is that some girls set up Ian to thinking that he gave them both an STD. That's like one of the main plot lines of the movie.
I hate that you guys like Entourage.
What's there to not like about it?
It's just so annoying. It's so bro-y. It's just a bunch of four guys. They're pretty much, the whole series is four guys walking down hallways being sarcastic. And it's not even like good sarcasm, you know? It's like, oh, look at the ass on that one, huh, Turtle? I bet you can't get that. And he goes, watch this. And then he's fat and so he fails. But that's what, 8 seasons of that? You know what I mean? And then when he loses weight, they're like, all right, we'll throw you Meadow Soprano, because they needed something to make it interesting.
Yeah.
And everyone missed looking at Meadow Soprano. But
so you watch the show and you or like
I watched the entire series and I hated every moment of it.
Why'd you keep watching it?
Because I just need to find out. I'm like, maybe it's me. And no.
Maybe I'm gay.
If I was gay, I would have liked it, actually. It was so boring. I don't know. It was the worst show. And even I know you're supposed to like Ari, right? That's the big guy. Oh, he says what he gotta say. But it just, you know, it just didn't do anything for me. It just made me, you know.
When how old were you when you watched this show?
I was 19, the age where you're supposed to like it, and I hated it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I probably started watching it when I was like 14 or whatever, 15. Yeah. And so like maybe the Ari Gold thing, as a Jew, we felt like some sort of connection with them.
Yeah.
we need somebody.
Because we're rarely cool, know. You know? And I'm not trying...
Why would you take, like, Bloomberg, the mayor of the city? No, it's Ari Gold. Well, Big Pussy does comedy, too.
Really?
From The Sopranos. And I think he brings on a rubber chicken, you know? He's doing his... Actually, what I see on Instagram recently, he must be doing promotion for something. So they have him dressed up as, like... he's got, like for Halloween, he's got, like, pale face, little blood dripping off of him. Weird eyes, like and pointy ears, supposed to be like a little monster or whatever. And he goes, and this is how bad his career has gone down.
Oh, Jesus.
Since he got whacked.
He shouldn't have fucking ratted.
Shouldn't have ratted, bro. He literally looks to the camera and goes, oh, it's me, the Gabagool. And that's it. Because it's ghoul. It's Halloween.
Oh, my God.
Ugh, and then he just cuts up like meats, and it's just like, ugh, God.
Remember me. I'm fat.
Yeah. Ugh,
I love how when everyone's like career just goes to the fucking shit, they're like, let me just start doing stand-up comedy right now.
I know. And that's the thing that we want to begin our careers at.
Yeah. This is people's fallback.
Yeah, exactly.
It's that. It's people's fallback, or it's people's nightmare. Like when they lose fantasy football, and there will be a series of mics where there's some guy going to do it because he lost fantasy football.
Yep.
And like, this is your nightmare, and then we're trying to make a career out of this.
If you lose a bet, that's what their punishment is, and this is what I spend money to do.
Yeah. I'm in open mic debt right now trying to fucking do this shit.
Yeah. No, fucking better than what? Actually, not much. I always look like my friends were like killing it, and I'm like, I could have, I don't know, join the Elevator Mechanics Union.
Is that killing it? That's killing it.
From where I am, it's killing it. That's how low I am. You know what I mean? You know, like, he's getting ready to buy a house and shit, and just like, he's got a piece of a fucking ass fiance. And, you know, you just look at it. But like, I know there's some deep-seated hate in his life. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be like, that's why, like, I guess like it ties back to Long Island. It's just like, that's why like life is so simple over there.
Yeah.
You wake up, you go to work, you have a cup of coffee, you smoke a few cigarettes, you get in a fight with
your wife around. Yeah. You go to sleep and call it a night.
You call it a night, you know, and then you're done. You just the only thing that changes is your weight, you know, and your existence, and you move on, you know. There's something to be said about that. I just, that's why it's just bored. Like, every conversation over there, even when I go to visit, like, my hometown, I'll have a few drinks at the bar, and any person I run into, I want to, like, out of whatever conversation I'm in immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
That's why housewives, they go insane, because they just do the same thing every single day.
It makes sense.
Like, why is that lady so fucking nuts? Like, oh, okay, she's been locked in her house for 25 years.
That's what I'm saying. You start to understand Don Draper's wife. You know what I mean? Used to hate her, and I'm like, I get it. Yeah. I fucking get it. I'd fuck kids, too, whatever she did.
So how old are you?
I'm 28.
28. So you got like friends buying houses, getting married and shit.
Yeah,
that's the only time it really crosses my mind or ever like really bothers me is when I'm going to one of my boys' weddings or one of them. So I'm having a kid. And like, for some reason, we think we're special and that we like don't need to do all that, you know, or that we wouldn't be happy if we did.
But they have their life, I feel like, is like a pressure cooker, you know? They have this thing that they got to do, and if they don't do it, they're going to
schedule. It's all schedule.
It's all schedule. And they feel this immense pressure.
Yeah.
And then by the time, but there's all stuff that I feel like was instilled in them to have to and want to do. But I wish they just took a moment, because so they're like, keep doing this, I got to do this, I got to do that. And then I feel like when you obtain it, you're like, fucking, this is it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I even tried talking to my friend, and I was just like, yo, look at your mom and dad. Like, is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
You know, your dad is like we walked in one time, and I'm not being specific, but
my friend Joey.
We walked in. I remember his mom was gone for the weekend, and we had a few drinks at the bar, and we were going back to his house. And as he put the key in the door, he just goes, oh, fuck. My mom's gone this weekend. Oh, we're going to see something weird about my dad. And we walk in the door, and when you walk in the door, you see the kitchen, and there was a tray of lasagna opened up, and you saw bits of lasagna fall from the kitchen to the bedroom. And then we look into the bedroom door, the trail that led of lasagna, and we see his dad with no shirt on, lasagna on his chest, and one pant leg on, and his boxers just passed out drunk. And I'm like, and I try to look at him like, you know, that's gonna be you. Like, that's who you're gonna be, bro. You know,
do
what
stand
I mean?
Up with me.
You'll be way happier.
Come to an open mic, bro. You know.
So his wife is out of town, and he just gets like fucked up.
I mean, he does it when she's there too.
Yeah, but he doesn't leave. He doesn't leave a lasagna out when she's
lasagna
around.
On the floor. Exactly.
Dude, it's like yesterday, one of my boys is married and his wife was out of town. So he just like hits all us up, like, oh, let's get blackout drunk. And so we all meet up and we're just drinking beers. He's passing around like shrooms in like chocolate. Like, this is what you do. Your wife is out of town and then you feel like, okay,
now I'm going to be
I'm
me.
Free. It's like you're back in college for like 2 days.
I agree. But I'll tell you what, the bachelor parties and everything have been fucking sick. They've been making me bankrupt, but it's been fucking
I have not
incredible.
Been able to afford to go to one of these fucking bachelor parties.
Dude, really
I stopped sick. Getting invites, which I can't thank you guys. You don't need to keep inviting me to bachelor parties. It's going to be one or the other, the wedding or the bachelor party.
We went upstate to, I forgot the fucking name of the place that we went to. Not, it was one of the races, Saratoga.
Okay.
And we went golfing in the morning, and some of my friends brought acid, and I'm like, I'm not going to take acid. We're just going to golf. This is my first time golfing, right? And legitimately, 15 minutes in the golf, I'm like, give me fucking acid.
I was waiting for you to say how much you hate it.
No,
I'll be better if I'm tripping balls.
I took two swings. We went, I'm like, give me, I need something. This is ridiculous, right? So I by the end of it, they had to stop me from spending $800 on clubs.
It's the clubs. I got to get clubs.
Bro, this is fucking great. I was having a blast, right? I took a half a tab, right? And I was... it was a good trip. There was moments where, like, okay. Also, like, we're but a place to trip than a golf course. You're surrounded by nature. You're kind of killing it, you know? You're just breaking balls with a bunch of people I haven't seen in a long time. They're kind of tripping, too. Not everybody. So there was a moment when I was having, like, this existential, you know, life is meaningless. There's nothing you can do about it. And your existence is meaningless to everybody around you. And then I just took a deep breath. And this is how I know I was fucking out of my mind. I just go, but that's why we golf.
Life is just putting a ball in the hole over and over
again. You just got to learn to distract yourself. This main existence that doesn't mean anything. And that's why we golf.
That's why we golf. This is your first time golfing.
Exactly.
And that's why we do this.
Now take me to the pro shop.
So, and now we're also still tripping, right? And well, I'm still tripping, and because it lasts like 11 hours, right?
Yeah, it really does. It's fucking insane.
It's sick, but it's also, I was like, I need, like, the reason why I was good is like, I had no responsibility. So I was like, why not trip? That's the best time to do it. I have no pressures around me. I'm not even back home. Like, this is the time to try it. It's my first time taking acid, too. So I'm tripping, and then we go back to his place. We got a Airbnb, and it's a 3-story Airbnb, basement, middle ground floor, and top floor. So it's just this whole house that we have to ourselves, right? We bring back strippers to the Airbnb. We have four strippers, right? And they bring in a guy. Now we're all fucking, we've been drinking all day. We've been breaking balls. Every time I'm around my friends, it's almost exhausting. You know? I do more work there than I do at open mics.
You're pumping out more material on your friends.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. You got to be on your toes because everyone's just getting fucking land blasted. You can't stop it. So we've had that mode the whole time. And also I'm tripping. So I have no filter whatsoever. I'm not reading a room the way you should be at all. You know? If anything, I'm too in tune with it where I feel like it doesn't matter what I say. Nothing really matters, whatever. So
the golf.
Like golf.
That's why we golf.
I actually brought the golf ball with me. I'm like, never forget.
Pinky promise.
Fucking. So they bring the four strippers in, and this guy comes in, and he's jacked, and he just looks out of his mind, like fucking, like tattooed all over. He's wearing a basketball shirt and basketball shorts. Like, and he's got tattoos all over, and he's just got like running veins and like bald head, and he just looked like a fucking threat. But I'm just chilling, right? And so he comes out and he goes, someone was joking around about doing blow, and he goes, I was letting you know right now, if you want to do blow off the stripper's ass, that's absolutely okay. Just cost this amount of money. And I'm just tripping. I'm like, yeah, how much to do it off your head?
Right? To the pimp or
to
whatever?
To the pimp or whatever, bro. And he just looked at me like, what? I don't understand why. And none of my friends were like, they were like, oh, God, please don't get our ass kicked right now.
Yeah.
Whatever. So we just, I kept, like, this is the one thing, if, like, I'm comfortable with comedy, if something bombs, even though I think that was hilarious, everyone just was afraid to laugh.
Yeah.
I don't blame them, you know? But I just, you roll with the punches, so you just keep going, so it makes it not uncomfortable for anybody because you just keep moving forward, right?
Yeah.
So comedy saved me. Right? So then they bring the strippers on, and you know, strippers kind of. I'm never into strippers because it's just such a phony experience for everybody. And they weren't. They were given enthusiasm, but basically what they did, they brought the bachelor in the front, and they were just like, "Okay, guys." They strip him down. They take down his pants and shit like that. They took off his belt. And they asked for one of our other belts, too. And they tied a belt around his head. And they rode him around the room, right? And then he's down in his boxer shorts. They rip off his boxer shorts, put him in the middle of the room. We're all in the living room at this point. It's a big living room, and he's in the center of it. There's four girls. They both now took one belt, and the other one has the other one. And she goes, okay, boys, this is how it's going to go. the more dollar bills you throw, the harder we hit them. And so we all jumped to the middle of the room and just... Dude, I must have threw $200 right there.
Like, right. Ladies, you can put your clothes back on. Just beat the shit out of him.
Dude, they whipped him. Like, at one point, I was like, this is... Like, I was even like, this is not even fun for me. Yeah. I love watching my friend in pain. You know? And at one point, one of the belts, because he's like, he's got no... his ass is completely exposed.
Yeah.
The belt... It whiplashed, so it hit his ass, then went around his ass up into between his legs and hit his balls.
Oh, God.
And we all went like, okay, we need to stop now. Like,
yeah, that's not fun. This guy's getting married. Yeah, this guy's getting married. Relax.
They don't fuck around. When they're feeling it, these strippers, they'll beat the shit out of you.
Oh, dude, they fucked him up. Yeah. Dude, fucked him up. And then this is when, like, the strippers, they just were ridiculous, you know? It's just, now they're doing, like, they're like, okay, it's like, if you guys want, you know, a few hundred extra dollars, we could do a lesbian show. And we're all like, whatever.
You're like, nah, I'm not gay.
By the way, we all have our pants down.
Really?
So it's me and my boys, no shirts, only in our boxers, watching my friend get beat by a bunch of women, you know?
You're pretty much cranking it to him getting his ass beat.
This is like Dorm Raiders, wherever the fuck that fucking...
And my boy comes to me in some kind of weird confession, as if he goes, "Yo, I don't know if this is weird, but I can't get hard right now." And I'm like, "Yeah, good. We're all in our underwear. You know, you shouldn't be getting erections while we're chilling with it. Like, I'm watching all my out of shape friends with their tits and chest hair. You know, it's just disgusting." That's what I'm like, the absurdity of this, and I'm tripping. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm losing. And I'm like, these girls are like, you lose a little respect for them because they try to put
a little. When exactly did you lose respect for them?
When they try to show showmanship, you know what I mean? They were trying to be like carnival fucking promoters and like have a little personality. Like, I'm different. It's like, just show your tits. Like, what are we doing? So they're doing the lesbian show. And this again, we're all still breaking balls and just like making fun of everything that's going on. Like, oh, if Fauci could see us now, you know, we're saying shit like that, right? I'm like, I hope you guys get the vaccine, you know? One of them guys pulls a dildo out and she's like, can I have something to rub it on? I'm like, well, first put on a hand sanitizer. Like, we're just being dickheads.
I think we got some ivermectin we can lube it up with.
Exactly. So fucking one of the strippers... she just literally just like as they're doing the lesbian show, and again, me and my boys all just naked, just throwing dollar bills at her as just like making out with each other. Yeah. Whatnot. She goes onto one of the girl's vagina and just goes, like, is that supposed? I just go, are you kidding me? That's what I do to my niece's stomach. Right?
And then your boy's like, I just came.
Bro, it doesn't even end there. And I don't know if this is an attempt to try to be sexy or, like I said, they're trying to do showmanship.
Yeah.
So one of the girls picks up the girl upside down and, like, as we're on a circular couch, is blowing into her vagina and just walking her around the room. And I go, what are you, a fucking tuba player? Like, and my boy, the voucher just goes, Danny, what'd you get, a marching band in front of you? Dude, it was fucking insane, man. Insane.
I'll be honest, I've done a couple. I did my brother's bachelor party, really, and we did the whole stripper thing. All of our clothes were on. There was no blowing into vaginas. I don't know what the fuck they're doing up in Saratoga.
Dude, so when you pay for private strippers, you get whatever experience you want. Yeah. You know what I mean? We also did it when we were going to Foxwoods. I was telling you earlier how when I quit the Jewel and smoking, that's when I took shrooms and went to Foxwoods. So, Oh, why am I not married? I don't have nothing together. But fucking, we took a bus there, right? And this is in the middle of COVID. We were going to Foxwoods for his bachelor party. We were supposed to go to Vegas, but COVID fucked everything up. Right, so we're like, all right, we'll just go to Foxwoods, try to make the best out of the experience that we can. So the plan was, we got this party bus, and the bus is going to take us all the way to Foxwoods, but we're going to stop in Connecticut first and pick up a bunch of strippers. So we just went to the parking lot of a hotel in Foxwoods in Connecticut and just picked up a bunch of strippers, which was dope. And they were all smoking, because this is why they were smoking. It was the midst of the pandemic, right? So when nobody's hiring strippers, right? So the top A strippers are now cheaper. Right? Because, and this is how we knew, because, like, then the one that we went to recently, this, like, COVID's almost over.
So we got, we got the B squad again.
Exactly. So when they came on, they were all smoking, and it was, they came in, this guy Randy, and this guy Randy was a huge black guy, just a guy not to fuck around. He just goes, guys, there's no rules, just do what you gotta do. You guys just do,
do what you gotta do.
Do what you gotta do. And same thing, they whipped the shit out of my friend, blah, blah, blah. But
they beat the fuck out of my friend. It was sick.
It was great.
We all got hard-ons.
We had our pants on, though, but...
That's good.
Because we're on a bus, you know, we want to show some respect to the bus driver.
Of course. It was a Greyhound.
But that was also hilarious. We're in the middle, we're driving, we're like stuck in traffic. If people knew what was going on in this bus. So one stripper is laying on top of me. She's naked and she's fingering her. She's got a finger in her. She's got a dildo and she's just shoving a dildo inside of her. My friend's drunk as fuck, waddles over, grabs the balls from the dildo and just starts jamming it inside of her while she's laying in the back of me. And I'm having a moment like, are we allowed to do this? Like, right? And but Randy's not paying attention. He's just picking up dollar bills from the floor and putting them in a garbage bag to bring back, right? And so we're like, okay, that was a crazy fucking experience. So the next night we get them again. Right, different girls this time. Well, there was one of the girls that was the same, and Randy just goes, "Listen, you guys did excellent, but I think we're gonna have to put some rules down this time."
You guys were excellent.
So he's just like, "You may, or I'm telling you now, you cannot insert anything in the strippers." And he just looks at my boy, and we're all like, "Yeah, all right." And the strippers come out. And my friend Newman, who's a fucking, he's a union guy, like real Long Island dude, like the Long Island guy you could ever imagine. And one of the girls, she's got a fat ass, right? And he's just, you know, with that, like, almost like a Neanderthal type look.
He's like, just, he's drooling.
Just like this with a Budweiser in his hand, just staring at her. And he slaps his, her ass and goes, "Thank God for your mother." And we all look like, what is that even fucking supposed to mean? Bro, it's the shit that people do, man. It's just, it was wild, wild trips. But that's what I'm saying. Like, the bachelor parties I'm down for, they're just expensive. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it ends up being a lot. But, so I haven't gone on one in a while. I went to a strip club a few months ago with a bunch of comics. It was just a hilarious experience. Oof. Yeah. And, oh, speaking of strippers, they're here. Hey, oh, what's going how's it going?
Man? How you doing? Hello. Excellent. She actually looks like one of the guys, I'm not gonna lie.
He looks like one of your buddies.
Yeah, he does.
I remember you with your pants off. All right, so I mean, we did like 15 minutes on strippers, which was great. That's how we anticipated this episode was gonna go.
I'm glad.
So I went to a strip club with a bunch of comics, which was hilarious because strip clubs can be an expensive night and comics don't have money. Yep. So we went with like a crew of 8, and within 10 minutes 4 of them were gone. It was just so funny.
I can totally see that too, you know, because honestly, even I feel like some comics too, you know, they're also like pussies, you know, and they're like, "Oh, I don't like what this is doing to women." It's like, bro,
yeah,
it's her body, her choice.
You know, yeah, I mean, especially like, nowadays. It's like,
exactly. You should see your fucking apartment, okay?
Believe all women. Exactly. She wants to be here. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The funniest thing about this strip club is they had paper straws, and I was like, "You're worried about the turtles and not the lives you're ruining right here in your club, really?"
Oh my god.
And this was like a strip club in like East Williamsburg. It was like a grungy dive strip club. It was a lot of fun. I became kind of tight with one of the strippers. Yeah, she let me hit her jewel. I was like, wow, this is for real.
Doesn't she listen all days off now?
She's liked a couple clips.
Wow, yeah. Really? Is she attractive?
Yeah, she was hot.
How's her whipping?
How's her what?
How's her whip game?
She didn't beat me. I didn't do any of that.
Oh, you guys weren't that close, I guess.
Yeah. No, not that close. I haven't seen her in a minute. She followed me on Instagram. Her handle's Trash Baby. Like, my mom is going to love you.
Trash Baby. Yeah, I love herself after her kid, I guess.
Oh, God. Yeah, I gotta start smoking.
Yeah. That's what happens when I stop smoking.
Yeah. That's so funny. We were talking before we started. I was watching because you do roast battles for comedy. I've never done one. You've ever done one?
No, I've never.
I've only done two, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've only roasted Jared Schwartz and Pat Haggerty.
Two real easy targets.
I know. Everyone's like, wow, you do great. I'm like, but did I? You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I wasn't going to do it. I actually roasted 3 people. My friend, Derek Drescher, is also a comic, really funny guy. He asked me to do it for his birthday show, and I just pulled over on the side of the road, and I just started writing immediately. I was like, I got shit I want to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just ended up killing. Like, we closed out the show, and I just fucking destroyed. I was just on point being the biggest dick. I love being a dick. It's like my favorite thing in the world. But so then Jared Schwartz came up to me and challenged me, and I was just like, I'll think about it. And he kept like pushing me, and I was just like, all right, I'll fucking do it, pussy. You know what I mean? And this is how I felt. I'm like, this is probably a little bit of my ego where I was just like, for him to have the balls to challenge me, he must have something up his sleeve.
Yeah, what does he know about me?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I'm like, so dude, I worked my ass off every day just writing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm talking to people about him. I'm learning everything that I can about him. I want to get personal, deep, and in the fucking pocket of this asshole. And next thing you know, it was really like I was just teeing off on someone's head at a certain moment. He had some good lines, but the first thing, he fucked himself because he opened with, what's he say? Nick Talalagi, we don't. That's what he opened with. And I was just like, fuck.
This is going to be
and I just started talking, calling him retarded. Like, I just started going through a whole line of shit. You know what I mean? And it ended up being a lot of fun. But he did have a couple good slams. One good slam was, he said to me, he goes, in about a week's time, Nick Talalagi's eyebrows are going to cocoon. Not a bad line. Not a bad line. Pretty clever. Everything else, I don't think I want to mention. For the sake of him.
For his sake.
I don't know. All days off guest right there.
Yeah, former all days off guest.
Yeah.
Oh, really? He was on?
Yeah, he was on. Yeah, yeah?
You guys were killing? But you know what? I love Jared. I actually really do like that guy. A lot of people fucking despise him.
Really? I think he's the most likable dude, I don't know, but comics are fucking weird. Yeah. And everyone has their fucking ego.
Yeah.
And like you're a shit talker, and I appreciate that. I thought more comics would be. I thought there would be like a competitive fucking back and forth, but like a lot of comics like aren't into that at all.
No,
they're a little soft when it comes to that.
I was so disappointed when I first came to New York came to the city to do mics and whatnot. Because like I said, I'm going off of like hanging out with my friends who like they brutalized me, dude. My parents divorced. My dad was just gone. Every day I would hear, well, hey, not like you could talk to your dad about it. You know what I mean?
So your parents just you're just roasting your parents your whole life.
Dude, exactly. And my dad is a ball breaker. My mom's a fucking, I'll tell you two stories to give an example of that. But like me and my friends would always bully each other. We had a friend named Stevie who was like overweight. Not like severely,
yeah.
But every time he would talk and we just didn't feel like listening to him, we all like created this thing. We go, Stevie's fat, and we'd all like the whole party would pound, and everyone would just pound. So then, and then it started to catch on, and more people were doing it. That we'd be at a party and we'd be like, Stevie's fat, and everyone would just go around pounding each other. You know what I mean? Just brutal bullying, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Brutal bullying, and. Then me and his cousin were actually in the same graphics class, and we had to make a T-shirt as a project, right? And we had to start from scratch, you know, go make it on the computer, print it out, stencil it, and then put it out on a T-shirt. So we decided to take the Black Power fist, right, and put that, and on top of it, right, Stevie's fat, and we handed it out to mad people in the school, so much so that the dean came up to me and goes, I hear you're making a Stevie's fat shirt. Where's mine? Yeah. The fucking dean!
Oh my God, it's fucking right. We got an A+.
Dude, and then one of these girls who was extremely overweight wore one too. Right?
Friendly fire.
Exactly. He even killed it. He goes, fucking Megan O'Connell's wearing one? I should have said that name.
She thinks I'm fat?
I remember he was actually fucking livid. And he had a little group of people who were like, you know, a bunch of crackheads who I didn't respect anyway. Be like, that was really fucked up. And I'm just like, didn't you have two abortions at 6
Yeah, that's pretty.
You should tell
up.
Me on my morals. Right? So I remember we were standing in the middle of the commons, and this is like the area where we all get ready before like we leave for school. And he was livid. And I remember he was just like, a few people are on his side, but also we're all wearing the shirts standing in a circle around him. So it's just a little jarring at that point, yeah. too. And he goes, we'll fucking snuff you. And then this is the coolest moment I ever had because I just knew he was full of shit. So I just leaned in front of everybody. I go, go ahead. And he didn't do shit.
Yeah.
Shit. And I gave him to this day, he texts me, like he'll be having a bad day. And he goes, to this day, I regret not snuffing you right in the fucking mouth. Right? But my mom, too, she's so fucking sarcastic and fucking funny. But that's just like the environment I grew up in. So yeah. It was like weird coming into New York City and I'd just be like, hey, nice pants. Like, bro, can you please like chill with your attitude?
Yeah.
God. You know? But my mom, she's a real sarcastic motherfucker, man. Just like old school Irish, like under the breath, fucking just slams you. She used to do it to me, just cutting, you know. So I remember I went to go visit, and my aunt lives upstairs, and my uncle was telling me, he's like, "Hey, your mom's really like, she's really getting under your aunt's skin. She keeps like bullying her and shit like that." And so I'm like, "Oh, mom, you really gotta chill. You know she's sensitive. You can't say this shit to her." And the reason I was visiting was because a friend of mine just passed away, so I was going to the funeral. So we're sitting around at the dinner table. I'm like, "All right, I'll have dinner with my aunt, my mom, my uncle, and then I'll go to whatever." And so my aunt goes like, "Why are you in town?" I'm like, "Oh, my friend passed away." And she's like, "Oh my God, how?" I'm like, "Well, he was a cop, and he got in a fight with his wife. He got drunk, and he went to the next room and shot himself." And my aunt goes, "Oh my God, with his pistol?" My mom just goes, "Nah, with a spoon." And she looks at me like, "Fucking asshole." You know what I mean? And we're having dessert, and my mom brings out spoons. I'm like, "Be careful. These things are loaded." Like, that's just like, you know what I'm saying? So it's so weird to come over here and you're like, "Oh, that really hurts my feet." Like, come on, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I guess the roasts are like a good outlet for that.
It really is. It really is. I wish I could somehow, sometimes I feel like I don't think it can transcend the comedy, like translate the comedy, because that's my favorite type of comedy. But it's weird. Like, you have the person all set up right here for you, and you just can insult and insult and insult. Yeah. And that's great because people get it right there. But I don't know. I'll figure it out. But it is fun. It is fun. I don't like, but you have to spend a lot of time and energy on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I like to get personal, because I think it's where the funniest shit is to me. You know what I mean? But yeah, it is a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun talking shit right in front of somebody.
Yeah, it's like, it's not, I guess it can be, if you do really well, like, you can get a club's attention.
Yeah.
You know, by being good at, but it's not like a skill that you're going to use on stage. You're going to like go around the audience like, "Hey, anyone here got a dead dad that I can make some jokes about?"
That's what I'm saying. I'm not Don Rickles. You know what I mean? I'm going to go around like, "Look at this Asian man." You know what I mean? I got to credit my roommate, though. My roommate, Menno, was the one who, Menno Fernandez, is also a hilarious comic. He was the one I kept pushing, because he always did roast battles. And me and him would write together, and I would help him with some shit, and he'd help. And I was just like, "Dude, you got to do it. You got to do it, bro." You know, I'm just like,
"That's a great Menno." You spend a lot of time with him.
Oh, a lot, bro. And he was the one to push me to do it, and that's what made me do it. So I got to credit him. But like I said, it's fun. You know, I don't take on the top dogs.
Who are the top dogs right now?
I think Nathan Norton is one of the funniest roast battlers I've ever seen. He's fucking hilarious. Jess Feeney and him had a great fight. Jess Feeney was very funny too. Who else? Fucking Lucas Arnold did a fucking amazing.
I saw his clips that he posted out. He seems like he did pretty well.
Dude, very dry and racist as fuck.
Oh, really?
Yeah, had some funny fucking lines, but you wouldn't expect that out of this. No, you wouldn't. Guy, but he had some.
He's
fucking
funny,
slams.
Dude. I used to like see him when he was, before he like blew up on TikTok. He used to like do like the new talents on Caroline's. I used to see him. Like, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, there was always a little something, a little too plain about him.
Yeah.
But when I saw him on the roast, I told him, I was like, "Bro, that's who you are.
Yeah.
You got evil in your veins.
You
got
to be more racist in your TikToks."
Dude, the funniest line I think he said, I don't mind saying this because he said it at the roast, but he was fighting Lee Lan, who also did very well. Mm-hmm. But she's also Asian. She has, like, she's new to the country. I think she's from China. And she, you know, she has like a bit of an accent that's like pretty Chinese. I'm not going to do it because this will be the last you'll ever hear me ever again. But you can imagine for yourselves. But so he goes, "Lee wants to peg her boyfriend. Lee, you have a better chance pronouncing squirrel correctly." One of the funniest, most brutal fucking lines.
It is. It's fun to like see people who usually aren't mean like be super fucking mean.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think they're like best friends too. That's what he is like saying in his clips, which is cool.
No, they are. They're really good friends. I love the both of them. I think they're both really great. But like, he really. I didn't expect that kind of venom coming out of his mouth, and it was great to watch.
I would want to try it, but only against a very easy target. Like, I've been trying to get, you know, Gordy McNiff.
No, I don't know.
You know, he's just like, he's one of my close friends, but like a complete clown, just total clown. Like, he's like 33, but it's like drinking constantly and always stoned, and he's just like a fuck. He's just always down to party.
You mean like your co-host or?
I mean, he's kind of a punching bag, and I keep trying to convince him. He's like, "Dude, you'll kill me, bro. Like, you'll fucking
I mean, again, I have a pretty thick skin. There's not much you can say that could bother me. And then, like, I know people who won't do it because of that, but it's like, why would you even get offended? I mean, I guess if you don't have any good retorts, then you're kind of fucked and you look like an asshole. But, like, if you feel prepared enough, like, who cares what the other... it means so little to me what the person would say to me. But, again, I never roast anyone who really cut under my skin, so I don't really know, you know? But yeah, I feel like in that environment, it's just like you already know the setup of what the situation... But even in comedy, like, even if I was fucking around on a mic and I just started making fun of somebody, people would get mad. I'm like, bro, what do you think... Yeah. What do you think this is? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the whole idea.
There's no, like, lightheartedness to it. Everyone, it's very intense.
It's weird.
But with the roasting, I would be less concerned about... like what the person said about me, I would care more about how the audience reacted. Yeah. Like if someone told some really mean joke about me and it fell flat, I'd be like, oh, whatever. And then if I told a really mean joke and it fell flat, I'm like, fuck, I am a fat fuck, like you just said, you know?
yeah, that's fair.
Because nothing like will make me feel shittier than an audience not laughing at something I said.
And I like how you just like pointed out your insecurity by using that as example. You still got fat in your brains, huh? Like, yeah. I get it. You lost weight. You look fantastic. But I know that's the driving force inside you,
bro. I will always be fat still in my mind. You know?
I get it. No, I get it.
If the audience doesn't laugh at a joke that's at you that was like really dark, does that mean they think it's true? So it's worse?
No, if they laugh, I think it's when it's like, oh, I see it.
Oh, I see it, yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why it's... But even like, I'll do that to myself. If I make fun of myself about something, like I'm like, ooh, that hurt. Like, because like they laugh too hard at it. I'm like, fuck, that's really who they see me as. You know what I mean? Like I have a bit in my act where it's just whatever, long story, and I just say how I'm short offhandedly, and it killed. I'm like, oof.
Yeah,
ouch. I thought 5'7 was average. You know?
Well, fuck, am I that short? Jesus.
I know. Some shit you say about yourself just to like you whatever, and you're like, ooh, all right, guys, I'll reevaluate. Yeah.
People are obviously
like a
very
5-minute laugh break.
Pause break on an offhand remark.
Guys, can I move on to the next joke? Yeah. Whenever you guys are done laughing, that'd be great.
He's on stage, but we're still the same height.
You know what's funny? I was at a fucking show, and I did that bit, and it was like a loose show, so everyone was like whatever, and it was like 6 people in the room, and there was a girl, and the stage was elevated, and I'm like, I bet if you stand up right now, you're probably just as tall as me. And she was, and she's like, ha ha. And I'm like, yeah, but that makes you a freakishly large woman. There's no, you're not winning this thing right now. Okay?
Neither one of us are normal in this situation.
Yeah, exactly.
We're neither
There's
of
no
us
volleyball
are
net in front of you. What are you doing? Yeah,
exactly. All right, relax, Kyrie Irving. All right, Joanna Man. Fucking.
That was a great movie. I fucking love Joanna Man. But yeah, people are very sensitive. We'll wrap up in a few. Did you watch the Chappelle special?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of it?
I thought it was great. Yeah. I liked it a lot. Two of my friends cried at the end of it. And I got like why they cried, like with the transgender woman that he
So knew. I didn't finish it. I didn't watch the whole thing. Did you watch it?
I don't watch the last one yet, no.
So I like watched, I was more interested in watching more because of all the uproar that I was hearing about it.
Of course.
And I watched like the first, I love Chappelle. He's not the same Chappelle that he was, obviously, when like he came out with those specials in like the early 2000s. But like, the first 25 minutes, Jews are up in arms about the space laser joke. And to me, that was like the funniest joke he told in the first 20 minutes. Like, I can't stand all these people. Like, it's a joke. They still don't understand, like, whatever. But I, A, didn't think he said anything that bad. And B, like, the only thing I laughed at was when he was making fun of Jews. That was the only part I liked.
Yeah.
We're really an easy target.
Yeah, but like,
we're
whatever.
We're asking for it.
We're an easy laser target. Yeah. But like, I don't
That's
know.
That's how Hitler felt too.
But yeah, I don't know. I felt like the first, I want to finish it, but I didn't think he said anything that bad. But he's also, at this point in his career, is pretty self-aggrandizing up there. He's just kind of like, he's trying to piss everybody off, but he doesn't realize that like they're his fans. Like they're going to.
But see, this is how I felt. And I was having this debate with myself and a friend of mine, another funny comic, Jason Choi, who's hilarious.
Yeah, he's great.
He's funny, dude.
He made a good point because I was saying similar shit to you. Like, yeah, it was entertaining. I laughed. It was cool. But I didn't think it was his greatest special. Like, I thought Equanimity was way better out of his later specials. And I understood what he was trying to do with it, where he did all this shit that might have been easy and down the middle, but it was more of like, we could still say this shit. I'm going to prove it to you by doing it on a fucking Netflix special.
Yeah.
So he actually was doing it more for comedians. But yeah. That's cool and great. And and Troy made that point too. Is like, what this special was like, he was talking to a generation of people. That's great. I respect that. I think it's awesome. Mm-hmm. But also, I think there's something to be said about comics who just do it by being hilarious all the way through. Like, yeah. I would use Bill Burr as the example to that. Yeah, you know what I mean? Not take anything from Chappelle. Think he's a genius. Thought that special was great. Mm-hmm. It's better than anything I'm ever going to produce in my entire life. Like, let's not fool each other. And most comics in this generation, you know? But I see what he was trying to do, and that's why I kind of look at it from that perspective. Like, yeah, he's speaking to a generation like, yeah, fuck you. I don't care what you are. We're saying some shit. And he really he held transgenders next to a wall and just started punching them in the balls.
Jesus.
He wasn't fucking around.
Yeah.
So if you finish the special, it really gets in deep. And there's some funny fucking lines in it, man. I got to be honest, you know? But I understood what it was more about. So it's like, you could do a special wherever you want. He's like, he pretty much proved I could still be funny and then still talk this shit that I want to talk, which is, you know, for some comics, all they want to do. So
it was basically just like the complete antidote to Nanette.
Oh, yeah.
Basically what it was. It was like the complete opposite. And I do I think that is still needed. Like, people still need to hear this shit and like get offended and like realize that it's like, it's whatever. But like, obviously, like, Chappelle is kind of uncancelable at this point.
Yeah. I think Chappelle knows that. Maybe I'm giving way too much credit. I'm totally speculating with zero knowledge. It's not like I'm hitting him up like, Chappelle, I'll tell the boys.
Dave, I had so much fun hanging out with you and Kanye.
So, but like, to me, I feel like he knows that he is the guy to do it. That's why he did it. Like, how I feel you know, because if that was me, that's what I would do, I guess. You know, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah.
Coming soon. Nick Tilelli.
Thank you so much for coming on and doing this. Absolutely. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
It was a lot of fun, dude.
Anything you wanna plug?
My Instagram, I guess. And, you know, I'll be selling Stevie's Fat Shirts on my merch website.
What's the Instagram handle?
It's at Nick Tilelli. NICKTILLELI.
All right, man. Thank you again. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week.
All right, boys. Thanks a lot.